He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace
for the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
It's a great emotion, that one. Terry, good afternoon.
How are you going, Half?
Good.
I don't know whether, I suppose that deep I should be able to get. I get struggle for the high pitch.
You get too high?
struggle a little bit to speak at times.
But what you say is quality, Terry. I don't care how you deliver it, it's quality.
So my singing career is definitely out the door. I'll leave that to you.
Well, and just while we're on that, just quickly, we digress for a touch, but the Mighty Wellers, I saw your Facebook post the other day. You were just about living at Wellers up there in Kangaroo Grounds. Kangaroo Grounds?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're listening to all the live music up there. It's shutting the doors.
Yeah, really disappointing. I mean, we used to get all the live acts, all the sort of bands that you used to go and see through the 80s, and people like Russell Morris getting up there, the real thing. And unfortunately, like a lot of that type of venue, unfortunately, it's just closed up. Bit unexpected. They had like a couple of months worth of acts still to go. I used to go up there most Thursday nights, but unfortunately shut the doors on us.
Well,
very sad.
Are you going to take it over? We could call it Ploughing In. The Ploughing In. Can we do that?
I'm not quite sure that's going to happen.
The Ploughing In, that'll work. Get Diesel up there, get 1927 and Boot Crash Opera.
I would love to. I'm not sure whether the work hours is really what I'm looking for at this stage.
I'll put a man on. You can put a man on to run it for you, but you could just take over. That is devastating news for that community, the music community around that part of the world, with Wellers closing the books. Speaking of books...
Well, I'm not happy generally.
No, you're not, and I want to get to that very, very shortly. This just handed to me. The Parramatta Eels are facing a fine of $525,000 for salary cap breaches last year. The NRL today issued a breach notice to the club, which also imposes a penalty of 4 competition points. Ooh, that hurts. That's 2 games, effectively. For breaches of the cap, the competition points will be deducted at the start of the 2016 season unless the Eels undertake an independent review of its governance and organisational capability and implement changes recommended by that review. So Dave Smith from the NRL not happy. The books not balancing there. Speaking of books before, Parramatta facing a fine of $525,000 for salary cap breaches last year in the NRL. More on that through the afternoon. But why aren't you happy, Grumpy Guts?
No, I'm not happy. There's a lot of things going on within the AFL. And if anyone from the AFL wants to ring us up, that's all good. I'd be very happy for explanations on why all this is going on. But it's around the area that I do a lot of work in, and that's list management. I just think that there's a few decisions that are pending at the moment that I'm not sure that I'm really particularly in love with.
All right. Well, I want you to drill down for our listeners. Well, we can't just be as vague as that, Terry, because you are not happy.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And nor should you, by the way, and to the point where if it gets any further, you'll...
I'll spill up!
And we can't have that here on Halftime.
No, we can't, huh? Well, let's start with the father-son. And I want to know from our listeners where they sort of sit with this. I personally love the whole history of the father-son rule. And
love
to see players going to where their dads had played the game.
Yep.
As far as I'm concerned, what the AFL is trying to do is eradicate that or certainly phase it out to some degree, where it is far, far less certain that the son will play for the dad's football club.
Yep.
Because there will be a bidding process put in place where you'll certainly need more than a diploma. Probably you're up to at least degree status and maybe further.
We're dealing with NASA at the minute.
In maths, to be able to work out how this process has worked. Now, we haven't got all the information yet, so we're not going to go into how that process works until it comes out, and then we'll certainly come back on in the next week or two and sort of try to delve through it and work through how that bidding process is going to work once we've got all the information.
Yep.
But I want to know from people, do you want the father-son to be in, and do you want to have, with relative certainty, to know that if you've got a boy coming through whose dad played for your football club, who's a star for your footy club, let's call it the Ablets, that guy is going to play for the same club as his dad. I think it's a fantastic thing. I mean, this year we've got Jack Silvani is one of the boys there. So I think it'd be horrible if Jack ended up playing for another club other than Carlton. I think that that's something that's a real part of the history of our game. I understand the fact that they've tightened it up a little bit from where it was going back a little bit of time ago, because perhaps, and I'm only saying perhaps at one stage we were a bit too sort of loose with it. I mean, these are some of the father-son steals that we've had over a period of time. Jonathan Brown went a pick 30. Travis Cloke went a pick 39. Josh Kennedy to Hawthorn, obviously, going on to Sydney at pick 40. Gary Ablett went to Geelong at pick 40. Tommy Hawkins went to Geelong at pick 41. Now, that might be a little bit too loose in the fact that they were third-round selections back in those days. But where it's been in recent times, we've got, the past 10 years, Reece Shaw was pick 18. Nick Davis and Jason Cloke were both pick 19s. In more recent time, Ace Cordy was pick 14. Joe Danaher was pick 10. And Luke McDonald at North was pick 8. Well, that's where they should be. I mean, I can't understand. And it's not a perfect science. We have Mitch Wallace and Tom Liberatore.
Yep.
Well, the Western Bulldogs themselves picked Mitch Wallace in front of Libber, but at the moment, best and fairest wise, Libber's done more in the game right at this stage than what Mitch Wallace has.
Yep.
That might flip back the other way if we go 5-7 years. Who knows where it ends up? But it's not a perfect science generally. But I thought we had it right with a bidding process. Yeah, look, you've got to use your first round. Where I think all this has got confused now is with the academy system that's come in.
Right.
And so the clubs are sort of saying, and particularly the clubs that haven't had any advantage out of father-son or out of the academy system, those clubs are sitting back and sort of saying, it's not an even playing field. We want it to be an even playing field. Well, I don't know whether we want it to be absolutely an even playing field. Why can't Dustin Fletcher or Joe Watson go and play where their dad played? Does it have to be that even that, boy, you've had a little bit of luck because that bloke who was a star for you or just a good, solid citizen, he had a boy who's barracked for that football club all his life and gone and played there. I don't know whether it has to be that even. And why have we got the academy, which is 2-3 years old, and the father and son, which has a history that actually got established in 1949, the father-son.
Father-son did.
Father-son's first establishment was 1949. So,
is that right?
So why, therefore, should we have this situation? Well, Ron Barassi.
Yes.
Was involved.
Well, that was the first. Was that the first one?
Well, 49. No, I wouldn't have thought so. Could have been.
That was the reason they brought it in.
Yeah, well, Barass was, what, 60?
But now that you mentioned that.
He left Melbourne in 64, so yeah, it could be. I
want to find that out.
So, this has been established since 1949.
Yep.
The academies have been established for 3 or 4 years. Why are we throwing both into the same bracket and working out a formula that suits both? Why, if you don't believe in the academies and if you believe the academies are unfair, this decision on the father-sons, as far as I'm concerned, and only as far as I'm concerned, has been made because of one reason. Heaney and Mills in Sydney.
Yep.
So Isaac Heaney last year goes back-ended first-round draft pick. If we re-rank the draft right as it stands at the moment, he goes 1, 2, or 3. Definitely.
Right.
And I think most people, Melbourne
bid. From what we've seen.
And Melbourne bidded that last year for him anyway, just to prove the point of where he sort of sat in the draft. They knew he'd still go to Sydney. Callum Mills this year is going to be exactly the same. He's 1, 2, or 3 in this year's national draft, I think without a doubt. And all of a sudden he would, unless the bidding system comes in, he would be going to Sydney for a cheaper price again. But why have we lassoed that and thrown that in and sort of said, well, this father-son has to go in with that as well? I don't like it. And I'm as mad as hell.
He's as mad as hell, and he may just spew up. We'll see what happens. 20 past three. There's lots of people want to have to talk to you about this after the break. Just as we get to the break, it was Barassi, unintentionally changed the game forever without even taking to the field because they wanted to ensure that he played for his father's team. And
oh, that was a horrible mistake, wasn't it?
That was the best mistake.
But that was the best reason ever. And what a history for him, his dad, the circumstances around it. Why are we trying to take that sort of history out of our game?
I want to play devil's advocate for you after the break. I'll do that, but we'll put calls lining up to have a chat.
I've got another point on this after the break.
Gee, he is up and about today. Terry's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it. We're ploughing in with Terry Wallace, who's mad as hell, and he may just spew up in regards to the father-son situation. I'll throw this at you, Terry. I'll play devil's advocate with you. From what we are led to believe in regards to the new situation should have come in, the new system should have come in, Jack Silvani, let's run with that story you were talking about before. Jack Silvani is still able to play for the Blues. They've just got to pay a different points rate.
Correct.
Isn't that right?
Correct.
And that might cost them a first, second, and third if he's any good. If he's a natural first-round pick, top 10 pick, the number of points, were, from what we're led to believe from the early indications
Correct.
How the system would work, that you'd lose one, two, and three picks possibly for him.
So what they're doing is they're tightening it up even, a lot stronger to make it a lot more difficult for that sum to get to.
Or for the club to say, yeah, we'll invest all this in this player.
Correct.
So it can still get there, but it's going to mean a hell of a lot more of an investment from that club's point of view.
Yes.
And that's where you see the issue.
As I said, it's not a perfect science as it is now, and I don't see, it was 2008 that we only changed the rule. So why we keep wanting to change every single rule all the time is another issue.
That's a fair point.
This was 2008 when the bidding system came into place. And as I said, since that bidding system's been in place, pick 10 for Joe Danaher, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. Pick 8 for Luke McDonald, I don't see that there's anything wrong with that. So I think we've got that part of it okay at the moment. I don't think it was broken. So why are we trying to fix something that's not broken? I'll take it a step further because I am mad as hell about some of this stuff.
I can tell, man. I can tell.
What about, and you talk about changing the game, and we just keep flipping all the time. Once upon a time, we had 50 games. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, we had 20 and 25 at one stage, but we had the father-son ruling at 50.
Yep.
Fine. Okay, everyone knows where they sort of sit with it being there at 50. Then all of a sudden, off a whim, it changes and becomes 100. Why? Still don't know. And was that decision right? Well, now we hear that they want to change it back to 50. Well, you're messing with people's lives. I mean, all of a sudden, everyone knows that it's 100. It's been 100 for a period of time now. Once upon a time, it was 50. What about the people that were dealing with it being 50 and then all of a sudden it flipped the other way? I just don't like the fact that we mess around with all of our rules as regularly as what we actually do. And it does impact people, and it impacts footy clubs, and it impacts families having the ability to be able to do what they need to do. Bruce Reid. Not the doctor from Essendon, that played with both the Western Bulldogs and Carlton. So Footscray and Carlton. Bruce played 88 games for Footscray.
Yep.
His sons would have grown up under the 50-game arrangement.
Who are Ben and Sam, of course.
Who are Ben and Sam.
Yep.
Ben and Sam would have believed all their lives that they had the opportunity of going to the Western Bulldogs.
Dad's club.
All of a sudden, the rule changes. Sorry, guys. One day, someone walks in and sort of says, nope, we decided to change it from 50 to 100. All of a sudden, they now are not eligible because of just a flip of the rule. They're not eligible. Both of those boys could have or should have, under the original arrangement, been at the Western Bulldogs. Now, all of a sudden they've gone, just during their period of when they were coming into the game, all of a sudden they've had to go off to other clubs. Now all of a sudden they want to flip it back. So poor old Brucey's sitting there going, my kids could have actually gone and played for the club that I played for, and now they're going to flip it back just in the period of time which would have impacted that family. So I just don't like that we flip around and change these rules all the time.
Seems to be making a bit of sense to me. I've got something I want to say about that, but we'll get some calls because they're hanging on the line. We'll get to them. Greg's in Upper Ferntree Gully. G'day, Greg.
Yeah, how are you?
Going well.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, Terry, I agree 100% with you. What is wrong with the AFL changing rules all the time? Now, the father-son stays as it is, or like you said, don't change it from 50 to 100. There should be only two reasons why they don't go to the club where their father played is, one, the club doesn't want to draft them, and two, the boy doesn't want to go there. They're the only two reasons, none other.
And we've had that, and that's you've got that availability. If you don't want to go, I mean, you don't have to go, and I think that's fine. And we saw that certainly with Mark Murphy He decided that he wanted to stay in Melbourne and could have gone, obviously, to Brisbane, where his dad played with the Lions. Decided that what he would have preferred to do is sort of stay, go for pick one, so he's got the family environment, so he can stay in Melbourne, where he's close to family and friends. That's a decision that you can make, and anyone's got that ability to make that decision at any time, not nominate. We've got young Dunkley that comes into the system this year. We don't know yet whether he's going to actually nominate. Does he want to go to Sydney? Doesn't he want to go to Sydney? He's got that choice of being able to nominate or not nominate.
Greg's with you. Thank you, Greg, for your call. Steve's in Oakley. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi, guys. Look, I'd just like to say, I think the whole father and son thing is so easy to work out, is that you want the clubs to be loyal to past players' children. So, obviously, Collingwood thought that they couldn't fit these two guys in. But if you just say every father and son is the last draft picks that you have, why can't you just do that? And then if they don't want to go to the club, then that's fine. But, you know, I'm a Collingwood supporter, but I'm going to back up Carlton here. What if Carlton's all their draft picks and their father and sons are the opposite of what they want? So if they need, you know, backline players, and Dean Wright's son and Silvani's son are both midfield, why can't they just say, we can at least take the risk with them at 70 and 80 or 90 rather than having to risk them at an early draft pick?
I don't think that will happen because of the fact that, and probably with this one, we're talking about Isaac Heaney and Callum Mills spoiling it for everyone now, but probably the Geelong scenario in father and son probably spoiled it by being able to get cheap picks. When you have a look at the Cats run with father and son, I mean, Scarlett in 97, three premierships. Gary Ablett, as we sort of spoken, I mean, he was pick 40, two premierships. Nathan Ablett, one premiership. Tommy Hawkins at pick 41, two premierships. That probably spoiled it for a lot of others because they sort of said, well, if they're top end stars of the game, they still should be going for a first round draft pick. But I think the system, the way we've got it at the moment, is fine. If this kid is a top end pick, so he's a first round draft pick, well, you've got to give up your first round draft pick, as North had to make that decision on Luke McDonald.
Yep. I just think there should be a reward if you've been a good servant of a footy club, and those Geelong boys are a classic example. Good servant of a footy club, and they happen to be, their old men happen to be champions of the footy club, and you have offspring, young sons that are good enough to play the competition. I think there should be incentive. The competition should have an incentive for those kids to go and play with that and carry that lineage on at the clubs.
And that's where I sit there and go, even. Yeah, okay, we want most things to be as even as what's possible. But what about that history in the game? What about the fact of still wanting to look back and love the heritage and the history of the past? As I said, I think it would be almost criminal if Ron Barassi hadn't been able to get to where his dad played, with the circumstances surrounding his father and his passing in the war and what that meant to Ron. I think it's just, look, to me, that is just what the spirit of our game is about.
Marty in Elsterwick, I don't think, likes the system. Marty, good afternoon.
Oh, good. G'day. Look, Terry, I agree with most things you say. I think you're the most learned man in footy, but surely we've got enough compromises in this draft as it is. You mentioned that the academies, the free agency, priority picks, concessions to all sorts of clubs. And we've got this situation where the father-son further compromise it, and we're at Darcy Moore. Now, I think Peter Moore played 88 games for Melbourne, something like that, but that doesn't qualify. And then over 100 for Collingwood, so we can go there. I think this is coming up for the seventh or eighth change to the father-son since 1949.
Well, he's a 12th or 14th, actually.
Doesn't that tell you it's a piece of garbage? And you mentioned the Reed boys. Wouldn't it be more relevant? More relevant and pragmatic for parents and players to have a brother-brother rule if we want to compromise the game? The father-son sentimental nonsense. Sentimental nonsense that apply. Most of these blokes' fathers play for at least two clubs. Why do we need it? You really think, you know, Peter Moore loved his time at Melbourne, but ineligible to go to Melbourne. Scarlett's dad ended up at South Melbourne, didn't he?
Well, this is why, and you're talking about taking the sentimentality out of it, Marty, but you want the brothers to play together. But this is why there's a game limit. This is why I don't think KB's one game system, if you just ever played a game, should apply. This, again, that goes back to my point before, that there should be an encouragement from the competition to have lineage carried on in clubs.
Absolutely.
Through clubs, to a point, from a point. 100 games is the point at the moment.
And in fairness to Marty, I do agree with a few things that he said. In the early part, I was with you, Marty, because when you were talking about how much it's been flipped and changed.
12 changes, by the way.
That has the ability to make it more of a nonsense. But if you actually just left the thing alone and it just stacked up and stood up how it's been able to over a period of time, even how it is now, I don't think anyone's got that much of an issue with it. So I just, yeah, I do like the history of the game, and I do think that it's important, and I think it should be encouraged.
Thanks, Marty, for your call. We need to get to break 26-4. More calls after the break. Terry's mad as hell, and he's not happy about it. Just one more time for me for the legitimate version of that.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Terry Wallace fired up this afternoon, ploughing in to the world of AFL. Leroy in one thag, he's been waiting on the line patiently. He wants to talk to you, Terry, regards to father-son. G'day, Leroy.
G'day, Half. G'day, Plough.
Hello, Leroy.
Look, I'm so glad this has come up because it's something I'm absolutely raveable about. And to be honest, there's not much left for me to say because you've pretty much covered everything I wanted to say, Terry. And look, I just agree absolutely 100% with what you're saying. And it's great that some of your standing in the game is able to be able to say these sort of things, because as rank and file supporters, we obviously don't really get our views heard, or it's much more difficult, obviously, but with someone like yourself making these sort of noises, hopefully the AFL will have to sit up and take notice. So, yeah, I just want you to keep up the good fight, Terry.
You always get a chance to have your say on SEN, Leroy. Keep listening. Start on the line, $200 Concave boot voucher coming your way. The official boot of the Geelong Cats, Terry. Visit concave.com. And the fact that I gave that prize away leads in beautifully to a little graph from Game Day the other week in regards to this father-son action. How could you possibly think, now this is a great idea, to have the system you want implemented, when the Geelong 2030 Grand Final team looks like this? Ollie Scarlett, Harry Scarlett, Jimmy Howell in the back line, Louis Mackey, James Taylor, not the musician, Freddie Mackey on the half-back line, Jack Kelly, Monty Wajinski, Jet Milburn through the centres, Alfie Wajinski in half-forward, Archer Johnson centre-half-forward, Miles Chapman, full forward line of Henry Ling, Jagger Mooney, Hugo Harley, and the ruck division of Oscar King, Max Ling and Bo Enright. All players, father-son, eligible for the Cats around that time. That's not fair, is it?
Well, we aren't the Tudors. We're not going back to the times where as soon as you were born, that meant you were born into aristocracy.
The birthright.
Look, it's not easy. Some of the absolute superstars of the game have had children, have had boys who just haven't been good enough to play the game. So just because all those boys are coming through, it doesn't actually mean that all of those boys will be representing the Geelong Football Club. In fact, you know, you might get 3-4 if you're lucky.
Yeah, the ratio's not great. Thank you, Stephen, for sending that through via Twitter as well. How many have we had, Terry, since the draft? What, 86, 87?
1986.
86.
When it first came in to the draft system, it was the last pick that you were able to get. Half, you've just dropped them back to your last selection.
Yep.
Not including this year's intake, which obviously is more stretch, those sort of boys that have come into it. Up until the start of this year, there'd been 73 father-sons since the draft had commenced.
19 years, 73.
Yep. Oh. And
29.
Of those father-sons, those that made a career out of it, 36 players of the 73, so 49% of players made themselves a career out of footy. And of those 73 players who become top-level players, so you talk about Hawkins and Ablett and the likes,
yep,
18 of the 73 since the draft, mm-hmm, so 24% had become top-level AFL players. So it's
of the ones selected.
So it's not a perfect science.
And that's in the last 29 years, we've had 24 players become stars.
Yeah, so it virtually works out
out of all the sons of players.
Correct. So it virtually works out in one of two father sons make the grade, and one in four can become stars. But that's out of all the ones. That's not including the ones that had sons that weren't selected. Mm. So the ratio isn't as high as what people believe it is.
Oh, I think that's not a bad way to end that discussion and move on to another one. That's certainly got the punters up and about, that one. And the SMS machine's just about melting in agreement with you.
Well, I've still got a couple of other issues.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Not again. What are you mad about now?
Well, just over the last 24, 48 hours, I'm sitting there and I've been really enjoying watching the St Kilda Football Club play.
Yep.
And there's a young man who missed the system originally by the name of Jack Sinclair.
Oh, yes, another Jack.
That I've really enjoyed watching Jack play AFL football. How did he get into the system? Well, if you believe the stories that go around, he played his school footy with Jack Billings. Jack Billings had a chat to a few people at St Kilda. He went down to Port Melbourne, I think is correct, and played for a year. Jack Billings had spoken to a few people at St Kilda and sort of said, look, just keep an eye on this young man because of all the guys that I played with, I seriously thought he was the one who was more likely to be able to actually get there and make the grade. St Kilda followed up all that actions, decided to get him to the club, and boy, oh boy, he hasn't let them down. He's played fantastic footy. Now, all of a sudden this week, I read that a player who is comfortably in the best 22, and I think the way he's playing at the moment, comfortably in their best 18, all of a sudden he can't play.
Why not?
Because he's a rookie.
So?
Well, they're getting an injury, an injured player back.
Long-term coming back.
Long-term are coming back. So, therefore, he has to go back onto the rookie list so he can't play. Now,
yeah, no, that's in I'm with you here.
In the spirit of the game, now this is where our rules just frustrate me at times. In the spirit of the game, you coach a footy team. I've coached a footy team. You bring the boys into your football club. You sort of say, once you walk through the door, you leave your egos at the door. Everyone is even from the point that you walked in. We will assess you according to what you do here, how you train, how you interact with your teammates, the respect you show for your football club, the way you go about adhering to our team rules. We will select you on the basis of the way you conduct yourself from the time you walk back in the door. But if you're a rookie, that's not the case. If you're a rookie, we'll assess you at all that, but soon as the injured player comes back, who mightn't be as good, but he comes back in because he's the listed player, and you're not. So even though you're good enough to be in the side, even though you're doing everything right, everything within the your powers to be able to go out and play, you can't play because the rule says you can't play. That's a nonsense to me.
Seems a bit odd. I think there might be some news coming through from the Saints on that. Stay with us. We're going to get to a break. 12 to 4. Well, Terry's fired up today. It's as fired as I've seen him here on a halftime on a Thursday afternoon.
And I hope there is something.
I think you're right too, by the way.
I hope there is something saying that he's right and he can play, because he deserves to be playing. But even if that's the case,
the system,
the rule is wrong.
Needs to be addressed.
And we'll go into it a bit more, because we were playing with a rule that was wrong a few years ago and it ended up being righted exactly as this rule should be righted.
Don't tell us that we have no power here on halftime, particularly when Terry Wallace is in the chair on a Thursday afternoon ploughing in. This just in from the Saints. Jack Sinclair will stay on St Kilda's senior list after the AFL reviewed its interpretation to the rule around players returning from long-term injuries. Sinclair was set to return to the rookie list after Seb Ross's reinstatement to the senior list from the long-term injury list. Sinclair was one of three rookies elevated in April, along with Adam Schneider and Adam Ahmed Saad, after Daniel Marksworth, Aaron Sipos and Ross were all replaced on the long-term injury list. Sinclair was named as the direct replacement for Ross. Now, that was the issue here.
Correct.
He was being reinstated, Seb Ross, to the senior list after his injury layoff. And because there was the direct replacement was Sinclair, he was the one that had to go. But after some consultation between the club and the AFL, and listening to you here on halftime, this is in the report, maybe not that last bit, Saad will now be the player to return to the rookie list, allowing Sinclair, who's kicked 7 goals in 7 games, making him St Kilda's second highest goal scorer, to be able to play senior footy.
Well, fix up the rules still, because what that means is, prior to the AFL's backflip, Sinclair could have been only reinstated to the list if they had another long-term injury.
Yep.
So that would have been the first case. So you're almost hoping for a player to go down you can get this kid back to playing, or after round 11, because each of the clubs can nominate a mid-season rookie after round 11. So all of a sudden the rule is wrong, because you've either got to get an injury or you've got to wait until round 11 for the kid to be able to play again. That's a nonsense. Now, look, and we've had nonsense rules in the past. James Podsiadly lost about 4 or 5 years of his career because of a nonsense rule that was in the AFL back in his day. What happened back then was you couldn't have senior mature rookies. What the case was back then, if you had played a senior game of AFL football, you weren't eligible to become a rookie. there was about four clubs at the time who spoke about players who were being unfairly treated under this ruling that was put in place. There was a young guy by the name of Smith over in WA that had a couple of knee recos, had gone back to waffle level, that deserved another chance and got his body right. And there was James Podsiadly at the time that was playing down at Werribee. Now, J-Pod had played one game of football. So as a 19-year-old, when he wasn't ready, when he had the skinniest little body of all time back then, and so if he had been on a list and played no games, he would have been able to come back on and be a rookie. But the fact that they threw him in for one game when he wasn't ready and he spun out of the system, he wasn't actually able to go onto any form of rookie list at that stage. So therefore, he was being discriminated against by playing one game of footy when he wasn't ready anyway. And I would have thought maybe 3 years, but perhaps even more, maybe 4 years it cost him at that stage of his career. And it was because at that stage, different people in the AFL in those positions at the moment, they were pig-headed that it wasn't their decision, that they weren't going to let the clubs who had gone to them with letters of complaint about how it was, they weren't going to change it. And it cost a kid like J-Pod, who was easily good enough to be in the system, cost him 4 years of footy. Fix the rule.